We are going on with our study of the larger catechism tonight, and we come to a new question. And as I said this morning, we stand amazed in God's providence, because here we are studying what we have been studying in Sunday school to some degree. But we're making a very different approach, and that is justification by faith alone. The larger catechism question number 80, I'm sorry, number 70, not quite 80 yet. Number 70, if you have one, then I tell you what let's do. Let's go back in the shorter catechism and do the justification there. And then we'll do it also in the larger catechism. Oh, it's number 33 in the shorter catechism. Let's do that one first. Number 33, what is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein He pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in His sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Now, it's going to be expanded just a little bit in this, not terribly, in number 70. So, in the larger catechism, what is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace unto sinners, in which He pardoneth all their sins, and accepteth and accounteth their persons righteous in His sight, not for anything wrought in them or done by them, but only for the perfect obedience and full satisfaction of Christ by God imputed to them and received by faith alone. Now, we're going to read some of the scriptures, especially from Romans chapter 3. Now, Romans chapter 3, we'll begin reading with the 22nd verse. And this is a very familiar portion. You know, the Lord gave us Romans and Galatians. The doctrine of justification is set forth so clearly in Romans. The doctrine of justification by faith is defended against heresy in Galatians, where Luther had such a mighty and successful labor in his commentary and his preaching through the book of Galatians. So Romans chapter 3, and we'll begin with verse 22. Even the righteousness of God. Let's back up to number 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law, that is apart from the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. Now, in this context, there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. All receive this salvation the same way. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth. God set Christ forth to be a propitiation, that is, a satisfaction to the righteousness of God, whom God hath set forth, this is Christ set forth, to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, We know those scriptures. And how wonderful is the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll read two or three verses there. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. First Corinthians doesn't have 19 verses, so we got to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. To wit, that is, knowing that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He, that is God, hath made Him, that is Christ Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Christ knew no sin personally. He committed no sin. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now this is very important. The doctrine of justification by faith alone is the soul of Christianity. Now let me say that again. The doctrine of justification by faith alone is the very soul of Christianity. There was a man who was a terrible sinner. I don't know if you ever known anybody like that, but I've known myself. This man was charged with many criminal offenses. And I share this with you because we live in a very ungodly world. There's so much wickedness and crime, but it's not beyond God to save people. And God takes a particular delight in saving wretches and those who by grace are brought to know what wretches they are. Well, this man, for his horrible crimes, was put to death in the town of Ayr, Scotland, on the west coast of Scotland. This man had been so stupid and brutish that everyone who knew him thought him beyond the reach of the grace of God. But while he was in prison, the Lord wrought wonderfully in his heart, in such a measure revealed to him his sinfulness, that after much serious exercise and wrestling, a most kindly work of repentance followed, with great assurance of the mercy of God. Insomuch that when he came to the place of execution, he asked to speak. He could not cease crying out there to the people under the sense of pardon and the comforts of the presence and favor of God. Oh, he is a great forgiver. He is a great forgiver, he said. And he added the following words, now has perfect love cast out fear. I know God has nothing to lay against me, for Jesus Christ has paid it all. And those are free whom the Son makes free, and I die happy. Now, God saves great sinners, wicked sinners. Justification by faith alone is the very soul of Christianity. It is the fountainhead of all true comfort. Now, anyone who is in error on this doctrine errs to his eternal destruction. You don't want to go wrong on this doctrine. Abraham Kuyper wrote, our state, our place, our lot for eternity depends not upon what we have done, not upon what we imagine ourselves to be or what others think we are, but only upon what God thinks of us, what He counts us to be, what the Almighty and Just Judge declares us to be. Now, this is the wonderful thing. Justification is a declarative act of God. When He declares us just, when He counts us just, then by that very act of His declaring us just, we are His children. Now, we were once pronounced otherwise. Even by nature, we were pronounced guilty in Adam, and subjects of condemnation and guilt because of our relation to Adam. But marvelously, wonderfully, and graciously, the Almighty has pronounced many of us in this room already not guilty and righteous in His sight, only for the sake of Christ's righteous life and for the sake of Christ's atoning blood that was shed for us, and the fact that God has caused us to rely by faith alone upon Christ and His perfect work for us. We are declared not guilty. We are declared even more than that. We are declared justified. Now, not guilty is a part of it. Justification is an act of God's free grace. And we must always emphasize that. If you notice in your catechism, following justification and adoption, there's sanctification. Sanctification is a work of God's free grace. It is an ongoing work of God's free grace, but not justification. We were singing that while ago in one of those songs. I think it was that the moment that we believe, you know, we're saved. When God gives us what I was preaching about this morning over in Philippians 1:29, for it is given unto you both to believe and to suffer. It's a gift to believe. It's a gift to suffer. Now, when God gives us the gift of faith, that is the act of God. It is the act, not a process, not a work. When a judge pronounces a sentence upon a criminal, what is it? It's not a process. That pronouncement is an act uttered by the judge. It is a judicial sentence. And let's look at Romans chapter 8. We haven't got this far in our study yet. But down in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 33. Romans 8 and verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now you think about that. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? When it's God that justifies. Is there anybody greater than God? No. Who can lay anything to the charge of one of God's elect children? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. It was Christ who had our sins laid to his charge and upon him. And thus, he was condemned in our place in order to set us free. And I think of Philip Bliss's hymn, "In my place, condemned, he stood. Hallelujah! What a Savior." And I agree. I think this is most wonderful. Now, Christ was condemned in our place. Our guilt, our sin was laid upon him. He was charged with our crimes. And he died to make us free. Now, justification is called an act of God's free grace. Let's look at Romans 3:24 again. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. That's one of the most wonderful verses in the Bible. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This terminology, freely and by His grace, tells us something very big. It emphasizes the unearned, unmerited character of justification. Freely literally means without any cause from us. There's no cause from us. There's no cause in the mind of man. We cannot devise any reasoning why God the Father would give His Son to do that for us. We cannot conjure up any good reasons in and of ourselves why this should be. It is done without any cause from man's side. It is absolutely without cause. It is freely. We did merit something. Yes, we did merit something. But we do not want what we merit. We sure enough merit something, and we deserve something. It's condemnation. Romans 8:32, because God did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. He freely, with Him, freely gives us all things. Freely. 1 Corinthians 2:12, the Holy Spirit causes us to know the things that are freely given to us by God. Freely. And you know those verses in Revelation? Revelation 21:6, Revelation 22:17. Those verses invite sinners to come and bring plenty of money and plenty of gifts to bestow so that we can have this now. We are invited in Revelation 21:6 and 22:17 to take of the water of life freely. Without any cause in us. What's the cause in us? Condemnation. That's all we merit. It's unearned by us and unmerited by us. This free justification is most wonderful. You know, they laughed at Luther. They called Luther and his people, this is what the Roman Catholics laughed at him and called them sola fideists and soloists. They called them both of those mockingly, but Luther didn't mind. He was glad to have that reproach cast upon him. This free justification, we were singing, who is a pardoning God like thee? But you know that pardoning is only a part of it. Being pardoned is not all of justification. Pardon is just a part. So that we are not only pardoned, being pronounced not guilty. If the slate's wiped clean, we are declared not guilty. But I want to share with you what happened to a man many years ago by the name of Bertrand Campbell. He was charged unjustly with forgery. Somebody else had committed forgery and it was pushed off on Bertrand Campbell. He spent 3 years and 4 months in prison in New York State. And finally, the real criminal confessed and Bertrand Campbell was cleared. The innocent man was taken to Albany, New York, and the governor of New York, who had been the prosecuting attorney that tried him and convicted him, was the one who signed a pardon. But the pardon wasn't really a pardon at all. The traditional wording of the pardon had been changed from a fit object of our mercy to innocent of the crime for which he was charged. In other words, Campbell was not pardoned. He was justified because he was he had no reason to be pardoned for that. Now, justification is just that wonderful for us. The slate is not just wiped clean and we're not guilty. We're not just pardoned, but we're justified. Now, how is this? The Lord Jesus Christ does exactly this for the one who trusts in Him and in His work for us. The blood cleanses us from all sin, so that in the sight of God, we are not only pardoned, but we are justified. We are accounted as righteous in His sight. Now, that's very interesting, because for us to be accepted and accounted as righteous in the sight of God, we have to have a perfect righteousness. What kind of righteousness would it have been if Adam had kept the covenant of works? It would have been a human righteousness. That would have been all it would have been. But did you realize what God says in 2 Corinthians 5:21? For He, that is the Father, hath made Christ to be sin for us, even though Christ knew no sin, that we might be made, what? The righteousness of God in Him. Bertram Campbell was declared not guilty. And it was really the fault of those who set him up. And then he was convicted. But he was declared publicly in that regard to have been righteous. The slate was clean. But we have much more than that. We have not human righteousness, but we have the very righteousness of God. Now that is staggering. How is it that God can accept me and account me as righteous in His sight as God is righteous? We don't have a mere creature righteousness set to our account. But we have the very righteousness of God in the person of the God-man set to our account. And the Scripture tells us that we are made, we are accounted in God's sight to be as righteous as God is righteous. So I say, how can it be? Justification is an act of God's free grace unto sinners, in which He pardoneth all their sins, accepteth and accounteth their persons righteous in His sight. That's as far as we'll get tonight. But just think about that. When the Lord looks on us, He does not look upon us as merely pardoned sinners, but He looks on us as being as righteous as He is righteous. That is most amazing.